أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم تر كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربه صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله، السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين، السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور، السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. Last night we considered the two verses: السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، and السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره. There were some discussions that I thought were left, and thus we'll discuss these discussions first of all, and then we'll go to the next verses insha'Allah. Under the subject Yabna Fatimata Sayyidati Nisa'il Alameen, we've already discussed that when we say Yabna, this Ya denotes that the addressee is in a very high and exalted station, and because Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is the offspring of Bi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, and as well as the product of Bi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam spiritually, of course he is in a very exalted position. That is why we say Yabna Fatimata Zahra Sayyidati Nisa'il Alameen. So the word, the interjection Ya is used here. This is one. Secondly, the title Sayyidati Nisa'il Alameen, one of the A'imma alayhim salam was once asked that, isn't Bibi Maryam salamullah alayha Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen also? And the Imam replies saying that she is Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen fi zamaniha, during her time. With regard to Bi Fatima Zahra alayha salam, she is Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen min al-awwalina wal-akhirin. So here Sayyida is one who is leading, as we said, comes from the verb Sada, that is to lead. Yasudu, he is leading. Tasudu, she is leading. So Sayyida means the leader, mistress. So when we say Yabna Fatimata Sayyidati Nisa'il Alameen, the product of Bi Fatima obviously would also be Sayyid. And that is why Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is known as Sayyidu Shababi Ahlil Jannah. And the reason why Shababu Ahlil Jannah, that is the youth of paradise, because in paradise there would not be any old people. Thus Sayyidu Shababi Ahl al-Jannah. So because he is Yabna Fatimata Sayyidati Nisa'il Alameen, thus he is Sayyidu Shababi Ahlil Jannah also. Another very important thing is that we looked at the two reasons why Bin Fatima Zahra alayhi salam was known as Fatima. One of them being that Fatima comes from the word Futimul Khalq an Ma'rifatiha, that is the all the human beings apart from the Ma'sumin alayhimus salam were separated or disengaged from her ma'rifa, from knowing her, because her status was very exalted. This was one reason. And thus the product of such a lady also is as such. That is Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. His ma'rifa also, beyond doubt, cannot be comprehended by us. In fact, there are several ahadith. I also mentioned one of the ahadith that Imam Ali alayhi salam says to Abu Dharr that لَا تَبْلُغُونَ كُنْهَ مَا فِينَا وَلَا نِهَايَتَهُ, that you are not going to be able to comprehend the essence of what we are in, or where we are in, the essence of our station you cannot comprehend. وَلَا نِهَايَتَهُ, nor its zenith. It's very simple. You have to be the person to comprehend that station. So long as you are not that person, you cannot comprehend that station. Therefore you have to be that, you should have that ismatul kubra that they have, to know what ismatul kubra is. And thus you can, la yuqasu bina ahadun min al makhluqin, no one can be compared to us. But then, in one of the traditions we find, that Imam Ali alayhi salam tells Abu Dharr, that when you know us like this, that no one can be compared to us, then this is haqqul ma'rifa with regard to us. So we have to realize that we cannot reach that station and we cannot attain complete ma'rifa. As far as knowing many of their characteristics is concerned, we can look at the ziyarat that they themselves have written. Not how a historian has depicted them. Because some historians would look at the incidents in another way, and thus we can't take that historian's word into consideration. I've seen some traditions with regard to Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, and it doesn't go in my mind. Many of our scholars, or many of the writers here, have written this incident with regard to Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, but then your intellect or your comprehension says that no, Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam is more higher than these words. That's how, for example, she's attracted to a necklace and some curtains, and then she puts those curtains and she wears the necklace and so on. And then the Holy Prophet is annoyed with her. All these things does not behoove the sha'an and the manzila of Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. She's beyond that. Unless the incident was something else. The Holy Prophet wanted to show that historian, the person who is narrating, that Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam is beyond these material things. This is something else. But she getting towards the world and being attracted to the world, no. She is even loftier than that. And that is why many of those people who try to comment over her life, if you look at their works, you find that the historian tries to think about his own circumstances or about other people's lives and then try to compare it with Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. And you cannot do that. Aslan, قُتِعُوا عَن مَعْرِفَتِهَا فُتِمُوا عَن مَعْرِفَتِهَا. Yes, Imam Ali al-Naqi alayhi alafu al-tahiyya wal-thana, our Imam who has written the Ziyarat al-Jami'ah, he has informed us that when you want to know the Imam, these are his characteristics. And he has enumerated so many characteristics. It's just like the Joshan al-Kabir with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you would like to know the sifat of the A'imma alayhimus salam, the Joshan al-Kabir of the A'imma alayhimus salam sifat is ziyarati jami'a. This is how you have to, you can understand the Aimma alayhi salam as well as the Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam. But then this ma'rifah also is dhihni, is intellectual. Unless you be like that personality is when you get complete ma'rifah. Because as I said, that this intellectual ma'rifah is a lower kind of ma'rifah. Only when you are united with the attributes of the ma'roof and the ma'loom is when you have the ma'rifah. That ma'rifah which is huduri, that you have with regard to yourself. You know your sifat up to a certain level. This ma'rifah that you have is presential and huduri, and that is that ma'rifah that a person should gain. But however much he gets closer to Allah or closer to the A'imma alayhimus salam sifat, he would try to understand that in what position, he would try to conjecture rather, not understand as yet, conjecture that what position are they having. And that is why, even in this masaib, or in the marathiya and nawhas, you will find that some emotional statements are written by the poets. For God's sake, do not recite these things because these are not according to the sha'an of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam and his ashab. Recite, I don't say don't recite. Recite, but those poets who have written marthiyas which are according to the sha'an and manzila of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam and his ashab. We try to liken the situation of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Bibi Zainab alayhi salam with our own positions. I remember some of these Nawha Khuns that we find, I don't want to mention somebody in particular, but I have seen that he tries to compare that how is the brotherly and relation with the brother-sister relation and how emotional it is, and then he wants to compare the same thing with regard to Bibi Zainab alayhi salam and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. They are far from these emotional things. Yes, I don't say that they do not have emotion. This emotion is natural in everybody's heart. But then, you cannot compare your situation with their situation. You need to have ma'rifah about their lives properly. And then you start comparing. And when you compare at that time, this is a good comparison because you have ma'rifat about them. But if you don't have ma'rifat, and you have ma'rifat about your own circumstances, that let's say when a young boy grows up, he becomes of teenage, he has become 22 years of age, and now the mother feels that he should get married, and then he doesn't get married, and she feels so awful. Now you look at the same situation and you are trying to depict about the great sahabas of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and the great companions like Janabi Qasim and Janabi Ali Akbar alayhi salam, who are so powerful and so great. Inshallah we'll look at the ashab and their sanctity and their height of spiritual status, and then you'll come to realize that how can we attribute? The marthiya and nawhas are very important things, undoubtedly. In fact, if you look at the life history of the A'imma alayhimu salam, you find that the A'imma alayhimu salam would call these marthiya khans and tell them recite. They would cry. And they would also tell them that Jannah is wajib on you. These are important things. But then you can't compare your situation with the situation of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The situation that surrounds at home with the situation of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Huwa ajallu sha'nan, he is greater. Yes, we say shayad, perhaps this transpired. But then, shi'r, which is not under intellect, is not that shi'r that should be recited with regard to the A'imma alayhimu salam, because you are not depicting the truth. Sometimes you are trying to depict the Ashura incident, which was otherworldly, an attachment to the higher realm, to the beloved, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time you would like to put elements of worldly things. This is a paradox when we recite the Ash'ar. Recite a salawat, please. As-salamu alayka ya thar Allahi wa ibn thari. we say that again the word Ya is because the station of Tharullah is a very high station, which is when the human being is just the place of Allah's irada, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and His abd performs the actions. This is a very high station, which is known as baqa' billah terminologically. And that is why we say, Ya thar Allahi wabna tharih. Wal witr al mawtur. Al witr al mawtur has several meanings, but I want to look at one meaning in particular and explain the same. Witr means unique, one. See, we recite the witr prayer. In reality, it's watr, it's not witr. The one rakat that we recite during, just before Fajr prayers, that one rakat is known as the watr prayer. Washaf'i wal watr. I swear by the even and the odd. This watr or witr means one and unique. Mawtur is an emphasis on the same witr. Sometimes this emphasis has come in the Quran. Hijran mahjur. Sometimes such emphasis comes. And so witr and mawtur is of the same meaning. Means one, unique. Al-witr al-mawtur. Why is Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam unique? And is he unique in the sense that is he unique even with regard to the other a'imma alayhi salam? As well as the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had a certain kind of isma? Yes, of course. He is unique. The reason being, some of the great ulama have written that the reason why he is unique and he is witr is because he had that opportunity of manifesting certain kamalat and certain perfections in his life that the a'imma alayhimus salam did not have, the other a'imma alayhimus salam. Not that they could not do what Imam Hussein alayhis salam did. No. If they were in the state of Imam al-Hussein alayhis salam, if they had the circumstances that were there during the time of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, they would have done the same thing as Imam had done. So, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, having those circumstances, got the opportunity of manifesting kamalat and perfections. And with regard to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly gave him a station according to those kamalat. In the Holy Quran, we have an ishara, an allusion to this. لِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٍ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. That everyone has darajat according to what they have done in this world. So as far as the spiritual status is concerned, we are told that أَفْضَلُ الْأَئِمَّ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ is Imam Ali alayhi salam. And then the other أَئِمَّ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ are of one station. And in some riwayat, we find that all the a'imma alayhimus salam spiritually are one. Min nurin wahid. Therefore, we can't say that because Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam had a higher spiritual status, that is why he could do what he did, and the other a'imma alayhimus salam did not enjoy that higher spiritual status. No. All the a'imma alayhimus salam had that higher status. That is Nurun Muhammadiyun. They had that. But then the opportunity and the circumstances that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam got enabled him to undertake this great movement. And accordingly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that stage. Recite a salawat please. There is an interesting riwayah that Abil Jarud quotes from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. He says that the Holy Prophet once addressing to Umm Salama while Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was close to him, said, إِنَّ هَذَا جِبْرَئِيلُ يُخْبِرُنِي أَنَّ هَذَا مَقْتُولُ. This is Jibreel informing me that this Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam would be martyred. وَهَذِهِ التُّرْبَ الَّتِي يُقْتَلُ عَلَيْهَا. And he has given me this clay on which he is going to be martyred. فَضَعِيهَا عِنْدَكِ Then have it near you and keep it with you. فَإِذَا صَارَتْ دَمًا فَقَدْ قُتِلَ حَبِيبِي And when it turns into blood, then know that my beloved is martyred. فَقَالَتْ أُمُّ سَلَمَةَ Umm Salama is emotionally overtaken. Because at that time, from the riwayah, we find that the Holy Prophet is weeping. Umm Salama is emotionally overtaken and says, Ya Rasulullah, سَلِ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَدْفَعَ ذَلِكَ عَنْهُ Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to avert this from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. قَالَ قَدْ فَعَلْتُ The Holy Prophet said, I did it. I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَيْهَا فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَيَّ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed unto me when I asked this, أَنَّ لَهُ دَرَجَةٌ لَا يَنَالُهَا أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ Verily, he has a daraja, he has a station, which none of the creatures would attain save him. And this is by being killed and martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he is al-witr al-mawtur. As-salamu alayka wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifina'ik. We already talked about as-salamu alayka and now we know its extensions and variables. We come to wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifina'ik. Salam unto you and on those spirits, on those arwah, allati that hallat is to come down, is to descend. Hallat bifina'ik, fina is the courtyard, alright? Bifina'ik in your neighborhood, those souls, those spirits who descended in your neighborhood, who are attracted by your spirit, and who are with you in the plains of Karbala. This is what is وَعَلَى الْأَرْوَاحِ الَّتِي حَلَّتْ بِفِنَائِكِ Here I would like to stop a little, and I would like to consider who are the ashab, and what characteristics did they enjoy. Mind you, brothers and sisters, when you look at these characteristics, I would like you to take it as a mizan, as a balance, when you judge history. Because don't judge history by the historian who is writing. Judge history by the Holy Quran, by authentic narratives, and by the true qualities of the Ashab. Because if you just talk about the Ashab, and talk about their, what transpired between the wife and the husband, and those things that transpire between the layman, then you are trying to reduce the Karbala event to what is happening to other people, to the layman. No, Karbala event is beyond that. Therefore, let's look at who the Ashab were. First of all, the word Ashab is very interesting. The word Ashab comes from the word Sahiba, one who is accompanying somebody. And that means that one who accompanies somebody, not only physically, but spiritually as well. So when we talk about Ashabul Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, we talk about one, those people who not only accompanied him physically, but spiritually as well. You know, it's interesting that tradition that the Sunnis quote, that Ashabi kan nujum, that my companions, the Holy Prophet has said, my companions are like stars. بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ Whichever you follow, you're going to be guided. Whichever you follow. So now, when they talk about the Ashab, they talk about even Muawiyah. So even if you follow Muawiyah, you're going to be guided. Even if you follow Marwan, who was at the time of the Holy Prophet, and who was known as Apparid, the accursed one. And he was banished as well by the Holy Prophet. He was even cursed during his birth. Still, you have followed the Ashab. Ashabika al-Nujum, بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ It's interesting that one of our Aimma alayhim salam also has narrated this. Ashabi kan nujum, بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ Then he says, this ashab whom Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Because the ashab comes from the word sahiba. Sahiba is to accompany not only physically but spiritually. And that is why if you look at Ayatul Kursi, you will find that وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتِ يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. They are أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. And the interesting thing is that many of us, when we look at these verses, we find whom أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ means that they are going to be the people of hellfire. No. Whom أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. They are the people of hellfire now in this world. But because the curtains are veiling them, they cannot comprehend their status in the hereafter. لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَى. If these curtains were unveiled, they would come to realize what status they are in, whether they are in hellfire or heaven. So let's look at the characteristics of these ashab according to the ziyarat and according to authentic history, so that it can be a mizan and a balance for us to judge the other events of Karbala. Once, during the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam happened to pass near Karbala and he stopped a little and he mentioned that place as Masari'u Ushaq. Masari'u Ushaq. The place where the Ushaq would fight and be buried. Now Ushaq, the word Ishq is very rare in Islamic traditions. The word Ishq is very rare. And Ishq means not only love, but intense love. Allama Dasta Ghaib Al-Shirazi, Shahid Dastaghaib Al-Shirazi, in his book says this, Ushaq are the lovers of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. And many of our ulama, like Ayatullah Hassan Zadi Amuli and others, when they quote this, they say Ushaq refers to the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we also have evidence that they were amorous lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had intense love. The word ishq comes from the plant which is known as ashaqa, that plant which surrounds another tree and makes sure that it becomes pale and makes it die. Similarly, ishq, when it gets in a person's heart, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes a person pale and yellow and makes him die from this material world and go to the hereafter and comprehend the higher realities. This is known as ishq. So they were known as Ushaq by Imam Ali alayhi salam. And we find that in Ziyarat al-Warith, we mention them as lovers. As-salamu alaykum, ya awliya Allah wa ahibba'ah. Ahibba'ah are the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one important characteristic of these great shuhada. Another characteristic mentioned is that they had the inner vision with them. The ashab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam had the inner vision with them. There is a ziyara that says, rather, it is quoted by Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Ibn Amara asks Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, قُلْتُ لَهُ أَخْبِرْنِي أَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْحُسَيْنِ. Inform me of Ashab al-Husayn, of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, wa iqdamihim ala al-maut, and how they would go towards that. Faqala alayhi salam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, innahum kushifa lahum al-ghita. Verily, the curtains were unveiled for them, hatta ra'aw manazilahum min al-jannah, such that they even saw their stations in Jannah. فَكَانَ الرَّجُلْ مِنْهُمْ يَقْدِمُ عَلَى الْقَتْلِ لِيُبَادِرِ إِلَى الْحَوْرَاءِ يُعَانِقُهَا وَإِلَى مَكَانِهِ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. One of them would go towards being killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he can embrace the Hurul Ain وَإِلَى مَكَانِهِ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ and go to his place in Jannah. This was their station. And then we have in another ziyarah whereby we say, Assalamu alaykum ya khayra ansar. Peace be upon you, the best of the helpers. And in one place we say, Ashhadu laqad kashafa Allahu lakumul ghita. I bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unveiled for you the curtains. We have that very famous dictum of Imam Ali alayhi salam saying that, لو كشف الغطاء مزددت يقينا. Not that for Imam Ali alayhi salam the kashful ghita was not there. لو كشف الغطاء لكم. When the scholars mention this, they say, لو كشف الغطاء لكم. Imam Ali alayhi salam had that kashful ghita. He could see beyond what the others see. And thus you find that these ashab also enjoyed that higher status. Another sifa mentioned about the ashab is that they are known as Rabbaniyun. This is a very beautiful characteristic. Rabbaniyun, according to Turayhi in his Gharibul Quran, he says, Rabbani is a person who is al-kamilu fil ilmi wal amal. He is perfect in knowledge and action. This is known as Rabbani. And according to other scholars, Rabbani is a person who, with regard to Allah, who is the Rabb, he is shadidul mail and he is completely attracted towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his qurb. And with regard to the marboob who are under him, he trains the other people. He has that burnish, he has that burning in his heart for the emancipation of the others. So he also takes care of those people who are under him. These are Rabbaniyun. And these were the ashab of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Rabbaniyun. Another very interesting tradition tells us that the ashab of Imam Husayn alayhi salam wa dhul arwah al-qawiyya jiddan. They had arwah and spirits who were very powerful. Such that there is a very interesting hadith whereby ruwiya anil Baqir alayhi salam, it is narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, anna al-Husayn alayhi salam, that Imam Husayn alayhi salam qala li ashabihi, said to his companions, anna Rasulullah, that the Rasulullah qala lahu, said to him, ya bunayya, he tells Imam Husayn alayhi salam, ya bunayya, oh my dear son, innaka satusaqu ila al-Iraq, verily you will be led and taken to Iraq, wa innaka tustashhad biha, and you are going to be martyred in it, wa yustashhad ma'aka jama'a min ashabik, and a group from your ashab would also be martyred. La yajiduna alama mass al-hadid, they are not going to feel the pain of the iron. So however many arrows would be rained on them, la yamussuna alama alama al-hadid. This is clear because they had arwahul qawiyya. Well, the human beings also can reach a station whereby they do have arwahul qawiyya, powerful spirits. Even we have among the ulama who had powerful spirits. We had Allama Tabatabai. It's a very important incident and interesting that when a cataract operation was to transpire for him, they wanted to give him anesthesia. And he said that, no, I don't want that. They said that, you haven't to blink because we are going to operate in your eye. He said, no, I'll not blink. And he never blinked. And the operation transpired. And he didn't even blink once. Why? Because his arwah, his ruh, is so powerful that it controls his body. If when it doesn't want to feel pain, it doesn't feel pain. This is the status of the ashab, or even higher, because we can't compare the ulama even with the ashab. In one riwayah, they said you cannot compare the companions of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam with any other companion of the other a'imma alayhi salam. Another sifa of these companions is that they were ghuraba. They were gharib. Gharib is a stranger. In Arabic, gharib is a stranger. And this needs a bit of discussion, and I think the time is over, so inshallah we'll stop over here. Inshallah we'll go on tomorrow, because we'll look at why Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is known as Gharibul Ghuraba, because he was among the Ghuraba to be known as Gharibul Ghuraba. With the light of other traditions we'll look at this, and there are about one, two sifat remaining. Inshallah we'll look at that and we'll continue with this ziyarah. Some of you may have some questions in your mind that, or that this question in particular, that you have just covered al-witr al-mawtur today, and وَعَلَى الْأَرْوَاحِ الَّتِي حَلَّتْ بِفِنَائِكَ, up to that position, and ziyarat Ashura is very comprehensive. My answer is that inshallah the three nights that would be remaining, I'm going to try to sum up the entire ziyarah and give you the crux of the matter so that you can understand what the ziyarah is talking about. And inshallah, if time allows after Muharram, then we'll continue this ziyarah. But then we cannot finish the ziyarah within 10 or 11 days. So we'll consider the important things that form the spirit of ziyarah after, when the three nights are remaining, inshallah. Recite the salawat, please.